You can turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. That's where we'll be this morning, Luke chapter 2. Let's pause once more and pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the good news. Give us today hearts to hear. Afresh, anew, this old message. Give us eyes to see the wonder of the truth. And may our hearts be changed. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. This happened. Luke gives geographic and historical details to anchor this account in a real place at a real time in history. Luke set out, and he tells us in the beginning of his gospel, chapter 1, he set out to compile a narrative, an orderly account of historical events that he based on eyewitness accounts, in order to give us certainty that what we believe about Jesus is real, is true, is historically verifiable. This happened. This really happened. The angel Gabriel was sent by God to the temple in Jerusalem to announce to Zechariah that he and his barren wife Elizabeth would have a child in their old age, and John would be used by the Spirit of God to prepare people to meet their God. He was to prepare the way for the coming of Yahweh. About 6 months later, Gabriel appeared to Mary in Nazareth and communicated to her that by God's grace, she, a virgin, would bear a son who would be Son of the Most High God, the Holy One, completely unique in a class by himself, the promised Messiah who would rule from the throne of David forever. She was to call his name Jesus. Yahweh saves. Yahweh is salvation. Now, approaching the time of birth, the expecting mother with her husband-to-be make the journey from Nazareth in the north down to Bethlehem, about 5 miles south of Jerusalem, either by the most direct route, which is about 70 miles due south. You can see on the map there where Nazareth is. Jerusalem is right here. Here's Bethlehem. Either the most direct route, which would have gone straight through Samaria, and most devout Jews would avoid Samaria at all costs. So they would take the longer route, which is about 90 miles, and cut down to the Jordan River Valley, down to Jericho, and then come up from Jericho to Jerusalem. That route, the ascent from Jericho to Jerusalem, is steep and dangerous. That route, that road between Jerusalem and Jericho, is the setting of Jesus' parable about the Good Samaritan, where the Jewish man fell among thieves, was robbed, was beaten, was left for dead. We don't know what route they took. 70 miles, 90 miles, by foot. We know that Joseph went up from Nazareth to Bethlehem with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. We could ask why. Luke gives the answer that the Roman Caesar had made a decree, likely for the purpose of taxation. Jerusalem, Judea, the Jews were under Roman control. And they had to do what Rome told them to do, and one of those things was to pay taxes to Caesar. And to keep track of taxes, he needs to know how many and who, so that he can make sure that the taxes are being paid. We're not told if his decree demanded that a very pregnant Mary appear with Joseph, or possibly she came because she didn't want to be apart from Joseph, knowing the time of birth was approaching, or possibly Joseph was seeking to protect her from the malicious rumors and the gossip that was circulating around Nazareth about the questionable origin of her pregnancy. Whatever the apparent cause, God providentially moved the Roman emperor to issue a decree that brought Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem in order to fulfill his own words, the words of the prophet Micah. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. This one, this promised one, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days, the one who is to be ruler in Israel, he was to be born in Bethlehem. And Luke emphasizes, Joseph also went up to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Jesus' legal father was of the house and lineage of David, so he went to Judea, to the city of David. Now, that is interesting. All 45 times in the Old Testament, that phrase, the city of David, I found it 47 times in the Bible. All 45 times in the Old Testament, it's pointing to Zion, the stronghold of the city of David, Jerusalem. But twice, here in this passage, Luke uses the city of David to refer not to Zion in Jerusalem, where David established his rule, his throne, but to Bethlehem, where David was from, where David was born and raised. The city of David. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Such a simple description of this monumental event. The time came, and she gave birth. She gave birth to her firstborn son. Colossians uses this word firstborn to refer to Jesus in two different senses. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He, Jesus, is before all things. And in Him, all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. Jesus, firstborn, has first place. Hebrews declares Jesus to be greater than angels. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? Or again, "I will be to him a father and he shall be to me a son"? And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." Jesus is greater than every angel. Jesus is firstborn over all creation. Jesus is firstborn from the dead. He is God's firstborn son. As the creed says, "I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of gods, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn." No place in the inn. We probably should not picture a commercial hotel motel with rooms for rent and an angry innkeeper. The inn where the Good Samaritan brought the injured Jewish victim and paid the innkeeper to care for him in Luke chapter 10, it uses a completely different word for inn and innkeeper than the one we find here, translated inn. The word used here we also find in Luke chapter 22, verse 11, referring to the furnished upper room guest chamber that Jesus used to eat the Passover with his disciples. It would be more accurate for us to think of an Airbnb in a family home, a room where a family or other guests could stay. The historic site for the birth of Christ is a cave in Bethlehem, similar to caves still in use today in Israel where shepherds can shelter their sheep. Mangers in Israel were a carved stone trough like this. I don't know if you can see that very well. It's a block of stone with an impression carved in the top. It's a food and water trough used to feed animals, to water animals. Because the guest chamber was already occupied, the couple sought shelter and privacy in a shepherd's cave. And when Jesus was born, he was wrapped in strips of cloth and laid in an animal's food trough. And in the same region, verse 8, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. This is the third angelic announcement in the Gospel of Luke. This time the angel is unnamed. He appears to a group rather than to an individual, and the glory of the Lord is also present. This glory is described for us in Exodus chapter 24 as a cloud. And it says, "Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel." No wonder the shepherds were filled with great fear. You see, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." I bring good news. This is the word evangelize. The angel says, "I evangelize you. I bring you good news. I'm here to proclaim the gospel to you." The angel proclaims the gospel of great joy to the shepherds. Joy which will be for all people. Good news produces great joy. What's the message? Verse 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Now that had to be a shocking and confusing statement. The angel shows up to a bunch of shepherds in the middle of the night on the hillside with a birth announcement. Everybody will be filled with joy because a baby is born to you. And I've got to imagine they're looking at each other. To you? Who's this baby being born? What? Have you been messing around? What's going on here? Who is the father? This baby is born to you. To who? To you. The "you" is plural in the angel's message. He's saying to all of you. What? How is Jesus born to a bunch of shepherds? Jesus is not born to them as if they were his parents. He is born to them in the sense that he is born for their advantage. This says something about them to whom the gospel comes, to whom the good news is proclaimed. It says they need help. And this baby is there to help them. The one born is Savior, because they need saving. He is a rescuer, because they are in deep trouble and they need to be rescued. You don't announce rescue to someone who is doing just fine. See, this good news message says something about the person to whom it comes. It says, "You're in deep trouble and there's no way out unless I send rescue to you." The glory of the Lord, more acutely than flashing blue lights in the rearview mirror, revealed to them in their gut the trouble they were in. See, they were filled with great fear because the presence of God revealed to their hearts their own guilt, their own sinfulness. And the Lord God is a consuming fire. None of them had to ask Savior to save from what? They all felt it in their bones that they all had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But the angel told them to fear not. "Look, I'm preaching gospel, good news to you, good news that creates great joy. And it's coming to you, but it will extend beyond you. This is good news for all the people. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None is righteous. No, not one. All need a rescuer. And listen to the identity of this rescuer. He is Christ, the promised, anointed Messiah, King, born in the city of David to sit on David's throne. He is the Lord, Yahweh himself, come down to save us from the wrath of Yahweh toward our sins. What an announcement. The promised Messiah, the Lord Yahweh, come down, born to you for your benefit, to rescue you. Messiah has come. The Lord has come down and brings salvation and great joy to sinners. Now this angel shows up to a representative group of ordinary sinners like me, like you, and proclaims that it is to you, it is for your advantage that this long-awaited one is born. He is born to you. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Now that had to make their jaws drop in amazement. Zechariah asked for a sign in his unbelief. Mary, in honest curiosity, asked, "How is this going to happen?" And she was given Elizabeth as evidence that nothing is impossible with God. These poor shepherds were too stunned to ask for a sign, but a shocking sign was given to them unasked. The King of the universe, the Lord, Messiah, a Savior is born to you. To us shepherds? Yes, to you. And here's how you will know. You will find the baby wrapped up and stuck in a food trough. What? You've got to be kidding. That's not where royal kings are placed. But he's a different sort of king. He is the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. This is food goes in a food trough, not a baby. But this is the one who will say, "I am the bread of life." Remember Bethlehem, the house of bread is the name that what Bethlehem means. "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Here's a sign for you that he came for you. You're going to find him in a food trough. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." As if the presence, the appearance of one angel wasn't paralyzing enough, the whole angel army shows up in battle formation, proclaiming the glory of God and declaring terms of peace on earth. God graciously grants peace to those on whom his favor rests. God extends grace and peace that brings great joy to ordinary, undeserving sinners like these shepherds. When the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. The shepherds had been told good news of great joy. What did they do with it? They didn't sit on the information. When they picked themselves up off the pasture, they went to see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. They heard the gospel preached by the angel, but they recognized that the angel was a messenger, bringing them the word of the Lord. They had been graciously given a sign, so they went with haste to examine the evidence. This wasn't something that could wait. It won't wait till morning. It can't wait till a more convenient time. This was the most important thing ever, and it interrupted and it took precedence over every other thing. The gospel does that. The gospel interrupts us and demands our immediate attention. You got to drop everything else and respond to the gospel when you hear it. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If God is speaking to you today, You deal with him today. Don't say, oh, later, oh, when I get home, oh, and it, this interrupts, this takes precedence over everything else because nothing is more important. This is the third mention of the animal's food box. Mary gave birth and laid the baby in a food box. The angel gave a sign to the shepherds of a baby lying in a food box. And the shepherds come and see the baby lying in the food trough just as they had been told. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Here's what we can learn from the shepherds. We're sinners just like everyone else. If you don't believe it, ask God by His Holy Spirit to convict you of your own sinfulness and of His righteousness and of the coming judgment on sinners like me and like you. God is just. But Jesus came for you. He came to you because you need to be rescued from that coming judgment. If you don't believe me, that's fine. Don't take my word for it. Go examine the evidence for yourself. The shepherds heard the good news. They had the gospel preached to them. News too good to be true. So they checked it out. And they found it to be precisely as they had been told. They heard the good news. They tested the good news. They believed the good news. And then they proclaimed the good news. Good news of great joy that will be for all the people. The good news is to you, but it isn't intended to dead end with you. News this juicy, news this joyous must be passed on and on and on and on. And ultimately this results in glory to God. The glory of God brings peace on earth through the condescension, the coming down of Jesus. ultimately to become obedient to death, even death on a cross. The glory of God brings peace through the sacrifice of Jesus, and the earth responds by glorifying and praising God for the great thing that He has done. Father, may Your name be glorified on earth as it is in heaven. Thank You, Father, for giving us this day the bread of life, who is Jesus. Amen. I'm going to invite some of the men where you're going to celebrate. We don't have a food trough. We have bread and juice. Reminders that Jesus is the bread of life that came down to give His life for the world. Bread that is broken because Jesus' body was broken for us. Jesus said, I am the living water. We have something stronger than water. It's not wine, but it's juice, because that's just what we do. But it's a reminder of His blood that was poured out to wash our sins away, to forgive us our sins, and to secure a place with Him for eternity at His table, where there will be great feasting. So this is a look back to the incarnation, that God, invisible, eternal, became flesh and blood, so that as flesh and blood could die for my sins on a cross. And it's a look forward to say one day, we're invited to His table today, to sit, to eat, to drink with Him, to enjoy communion, fellowship with Him. But one day, today it's through a glass dimly. We don't see face to face today. But one day, we will be like Him, because we will see Him as He is. We will be transformed as we enter into His presence and sit down at table with Him. What great good news of great joy that we have. Don't keep it to yourself. Thank You, Jesus. How stunning is the good news that You, God from all eternity, would come down to become human, flesh and blood, to pay my price, to make me Yours, to invite me in, to enjoy communion with You, Father, Son, and Spirit. Help us today to enjoy, to savor, to treasure our relationship with You. And may that uncontainably overflow to people around us. Good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. Thank You, Jesus, for what You did. We remember. We worship at Your feet, His body broken for you. Take and eat. His blood poured out to wash you clean and make you new. Drink.